there's been a lot of discussion about the covenant theology versus the true biblical teachings. Well, I could say, oh, you think you know it all. And I say to people the same thing that I heard the evangelist say one time. Do you know anybody that doesn't think they know it all? If they don't know it all, in other words, what is it that you believe that is wrong? What is it you believe that is wrong? If there's something you believe that is wrong, and you probably don't believe it if it was wrong. Doesn't make sense. There's a lot of discussion about what constitutes correct biblical teaching in this modern day time about dispensationalism and covenant theology. Do you know that the covenant theologians and the dispensationalists use the same passage of scripture to try to prove their point? I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm just going to have a general discussion tonight. I would strongly suggest that anyone that listens to this go to Galatians 3:16 and do a study throughout the Old Testament on seed, S-E-E-D, not plural, seeds, seed. We see a prediction early on in Genesis. And any time that Scripture is referring to seed, the seed of the woman is Christ. And the promise to Abraham was that his descendants would have the seed, Christ. Now, covenant theologians try to say that this would be a special thing to all of those who are you know, in the lineage of Abraham, or even they'll go even further and say if they're in the lineage of believers. But we know that passages in the New Testament refer to, this is to your children and to your children's children, all those who are far off. And what is the condition of that? Those that call upon the name of the Lord. And no one's going to call upon the name of the Lord unless they are God's elect, unless he's regenerated them by the Holy Spirit. In the second chapter of Acts, we see that the Holy Ghost fell upon those people. And if you study the latter portion of the second chapter of Acts, you'll find that David was speaking of Christ when he said, "Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Guy told me one time, a dispensationalist, a hyper-dispensationalist, you could not find faith in the Old Testament. You know, the prediction, the messianic prophecies are full of the coming of the Messiah, but also we see that throughout the Old Testament is the seed that's predicted to come. Seed. This child that will be born of a virgin. There's a song I love. It's called "Rose Among the Thorns." And God sent a rose among the thorns. And that rose was Christ, and he had a thorn, a crown of thorns placed on his head. If he did not stay in the grave. He's alive. He liveth forevermore and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his children. I'm glad that we have the seed, the promise, the covenant. God gave the covenant and it cannot be annulled. Christ's bride isn't from Genesis through Revelation and all the way through even until this very day, and it will be until Christ comes back and gathers all of his bride. There'll be one sheep and one fold, one baptism. One sheep and one fold. I'm thankful that we can proclaim the gospel. Look unto the ends of the earth and be saved. God came to save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ did a mighty work on the cross. But all of those for whom he died for were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Effectual calling, election, predestination, which you don't hear talked about very much in today's Arminian circles, hardly ever. God, in his purposes, foretold that he would send his son. Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. God did not make any mistakes. God did not develop a secondary plan because the first one didn't work out. God's plan has been perfectly orchestrated all the way down through history. Ever since and before, even before creation. God is sovereign. He's almighty. He's omnipotent. And he cannot be thwarted. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, I am that I am. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he, the Everlasting Father. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, we cannot place too much emphasis on the glory and majesty of God. He said in Isaiah, I am God and there is none beside me. Calling a ravenous bird from the east. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. All things were created by him and for him. Put all things under his feet. It's good to know we are serving a sovereign God and not one that is masking deception, not one that is masking lies and like we see so many religions that are the pagan religions are constantly masking total deception, aren't they? But our God is an awesome God. He is over all of his creation. Second chapter of Psalm says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? But God will hold them in derision. says they served, they worshipped the creature more than the Creator. Their foolish hearts were darkened, and they are without excuse before God. But for us, we found that God is rich in mercy. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. He's the only one that can heal all my soul's diseases. He is the one who paid the perfect sacrifice for sin and entered once into the holy place and sat down at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died. There are many that would like to lay charges against God's elect. Who can separate us from the love of God? God is able to keep us from falling, to present us spotless before the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb that was slain. We receive glory and honor and power and wisdom and might. He's given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other mediator between God and man but the man Christ Jesus. He said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. You will find rest in your souls." There is a rest to the people of God. He also told us that if I go away, I will prepare a place for you and come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, if it were not so, I would not have told you. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. He is absolute. He's unchanging. He is all-knowing. He's omnipotent. Omniscient, ever-present help in time of need. Underneath us are the everlasting arms of God. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we are serving a mighty, majestic, sovereign, immutable, irrefutable God. The Creator of the universe, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Friend, our Advocate, our High Priest, our High Tower. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We can go to Him, and song that says, "Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, calls me from this world of care." You know, we need to find ourselves going to Him in communion and prayer. Song that says, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray in the name of Christ my Savior, did you sue for loving favor at the break of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change the night to day. Life seems oh so dreary. Did you think to pray? So let us remember that God, in His majesty, has made Himself no reputation, took on the form of a servant, came, gave up the ivory palaces, born in a lowly stable in a manger, raised by a carpenter, and amazed the lawyers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees at 12 years old with His answers to their questions. And as He grew up, He was definitely about His Father's business. And He walked in ministry on this earth and finally freely laid down His life. Scripture tells us, by the predetermined counsel of God, you with wicked hands have slain. We have much to be thankful for. Christ has come and given Himself a ransom for our sins. And He didn't just die and stay in the grave, because if He had, we would be out of our sins. But because He's risen again, we also have hope of the resurrection. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Glad that He didn't stay in the grave. Father, we thank You for this time of contemplation of Your majesty and Your sovereignty and Your awesome power. Help us never forget what You've accomplished, even before the foundation of the world. And You're still accomplishing Your purposes this very hour, this very day, and You will accomplish Your purposes throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. We pray that You would take this message and use it for Your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.